And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. I'm talking about this show. It goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And I tell you what else covers some major ground, you guys, and that's Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, one of our sponsors, is a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of North Alabama. They're in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala. They got five locations around the Birmingham area. I hear that more are coming. The two newest locations are in Chelsea and Hoover. Listen, Southern Immediate Care is open 7 days a week. I mean, like, somebody gets sick on a weekend, what do? Wake up Saturday morning with a fever? Southern Immediate Care. They can see all ages, from pediatric to geriatric. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is who I use, all right? I go to the one in the Gadsden area. Southern Immediate Care, every time I've gone, it's been like super clean, great facilities, friendly staff. They get you right in. They can do vaccinations and shots right there. I mean, and x-rays right there on the spot. Southern Immediate Care. You look them up online, find the location nearest you. And if you go down there, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well and everything. But listening to some of the stuff today, as far as the people calling back to everybody and never getting to see them again, it jerked some tears out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's still fresh in some ways, especially if you were, paying attention back then.
Yeah, I was at Madison Books Computers, a computer tech out there, and boss calls us in and shows us what happened on the television and is repeating as far as the first strike. And while we were sitting there watching that, the second strike.
Yeah.
But in any case, I just slipped one in to you and Boomer from a Vols fan, a War Tide and Royal Eagle to y'all.
That's a good one. Yeah, see you, brother. Yeah, so tell me where you were on 9/11. What do you remember? I mean, I can see right now Ryan from Hazel Green just texted in. He says, 22 years ago, I was 12 years old in a 7th grade science class. He says, at first we watched and talked about how it was one heck of an accident, and then we watched live as a second plane hit the other tower, and in that moment, he says, in that moment, a bunch of 12-year-old kids got a big dose of reality, and we were forced to grow up. And as we watched that fireball, we realized it wasn't an accident. And we watched the rest of the events that day in silence. It's amazing. I'm just telling you. Mike from Owens Crossroads says, I lived and worked in Fredericksburg, Virginia area, about 50 miles from D.C. The office I worked at was eerily quiet that day. Beautiful, sunny, and clear day. Roads were jammed most of the day by people leaving the D.C. area, escaping to get home. By the time I left at the office around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, there was hardly any traffic on the roads. Again, very somber and eerie. Everyone was home glued to the news coverage and in mourning. I served in the Pentagon. I was there working in the special operations office way down low in the basement in 2009. So, a number of years later. At that point, most of the Pentagon had been rehabbed. The Pentagon was an aging building, and it felt like an aging building. It's been completely refreshed, which it needed. But, of course, they had to rebuild one whole section. So as the Pentagon, one whole section was, for the most part, gone. That plane flew right into it. And I had occasion to have to go to meetings in that wing, which was completely rebuilt by then. But in the course of doing so, I was in one guy's office, and he had a shadow box on the wall of items of his own that had been salvaged out of the ruins of his office. Like his burnt reading glasses and several things that had been on his desk, and they were all. But the thing that got me the most was out in the hallway, right outside his office. There was a picture, like a blueprint type thing, like a layout of the offices, and there were red, green, and yellow dots all over it. And I asked somebody about it, and they said there was one lady who had been there that day, and she made it her. They called it her labor of love. To map out where everyone had been when the plane hit that wing of the building. And then she put red, green, and yellow as to whether they died, lived, or were injured. And there were some crazy ones. There was one conference room with a conference table that had, I want to say, 8 people around it, 7 red and 1 green. Like, he wasn't even injured. 7 people in the room with him died, and he lived without any serious injuries. And yet there were others. There were plenty of yellows, and it was amazing. And so to talk to people who had been there that day, the office that I worked at was a skiff way down in the basement. I had to go down multiple levels to get to it. And it was so far down that one of the guys that I worked with had been in a meeting upstairs. And he heard the alarm, and he looked out in the hallway. The hallway was full of smoke. And he asked somebody who was running by, what's going on? And they said, we don't know. Something blew up. And basically, he ran back inside the office he was at, and he called down to the skiff in the basement, the same one that I worked in later. And he told the guy in charge down there, get everybody out. Something's happened up here. The amazing thing is the Pentagon is such a rock-solid building that the people in the basements didn't even know it had happened. Can you imagine being in a building that's so big you can put 24,000 people in it on a regular basis every day? And it's so solid that when a 747 hits the building and knocks out an entire wing of it, that the people in the basement don't even know it's happening. Well, one of the things they had to do after that, too, was not only refurbish, but they went through and they put glow tape, because people who were in the basement that were trying to get out, when the power went down, they couldn't find their way out of a windowless basement. And, you know, and most of them were trying to use their phones with light. But so now what you have is if you're in the Pentagon, every hallway, every door frame, every window is surrounded by luminescent tape. So if the lights go out, it glows and you can see where to walk and where the doors are. And it's really been, there's been a lot of thought put into this. I got a call on line one, so let me do that real quick. I appreciate him holding. Alan from Hartsell. Hey, Alan, how you doing?
I'm upright and breathing again.
Yes, sir.
Two things that shaped my thinking. I don't know where you were at, but I think I'm a little older than you. But when John F. Kennedy was shot in 63, I was in the 8th grade, Dixie Junior High School in Birmingham. And that struck my interest. Some of the guys know, hey, we get to get out of school early. I thought to myself, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, 9/11 rolls around. It didn't. I was on I-95 headed north, up on Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, or Georgia line. And I thought, something ain't right here. Well, about 2 years later, my late wife and I were in a place called Neptune, Florida. We met a lady that was working in an Italian restaurant down there. And she was her and her husband had a restaurant about 2 blocks from the South Tower. They explained to me she said, he's working as a chef here in Miami and I'm here. And she said, you can't imagine what it's like. And she tried to explain some of that to me, and I sat there in awe and I thought, you're kidding. But yeah. Then I get to thinking, all that dust cloud and stuff, it reminded me of a volcano erupting.
Yeah.
I thought, golly, bum.
Yeah.
She said, hey. Of course, she said after that, luckily her daughter was in Connecticut when that happened. And immediately thereafter, when they got some insurance paper stuff done and started, they moved out and said, we ain't going back to New York. That place is crazy. So, but that registered in my mind. I saw all those clouds of dust. She said, I saw all those clouds of dust. And I said, I didn't know what it was. But I'm going to change something else. They said that Dale Jackson said this morning, gas won't burn a building. Well, jet fuel, when it ignites, it burns hotter than gasoline. Mm. That's what actually brought the buildings down.
Yeah.
The vaporization of the concrete and the structural steel brought it down.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my memories, and of course, that's why I've been a history nut for years. So
appreciate you, Alan.
Have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too. You take care now. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you so much. Let me jump over here to the text lines again. John from Huntsville just says, I was 11 years old, getting ready to leave my house to go to my small private Christian school when I saw on the news a report of an airplane hitting one of the towers. At the time, I thought it might have been an accident. Later at school, after the second one hit, the teacher turned on the TV, and shortly after that, I saw the towers collapse. Yeah, that's a lot of folks had that same feeling, man. It was like, this can't be right. It was, you know, there's no way in the world that just happened as a intentional act. But yeah. Jay from Hartzell says, I was in a briefing for deployment to Egypt for Operation Bright Star. Crazy long day. Yeah, I imagine it was. And I imagine you got redirected too, brother. Thanks for your service. Brenda from Athens says, sorry, it was Wednesday, the Theodore Roosevelt. I'm not sure she's telling me here. It was Tuesday evening when the fighter jets left that were joining the Theodore. Oh, I'm sorry, the Theodore Roosevelt. Okay, gotcha. It was Tuesday evening when the fighter jets left that were joining the Theodore Roosevelt. And that's when I learned the planes joined the ship out in the ocean. They don't go with the ship. And I learned why I couldn't take a picture of the ship. I was standing on the boardwalk, but the ship blends the sky and the ocean. It's a neat image. Thank you, Brenda. Appreciate that. Teresa from Town Creek. My husband and I had just moved to Athens from New Hampshire. Had been here 2 weeks. Wow. Yeah. Well, glad you're here. Jeff from Indiana. Phil, I think they're getting ready to do something to the rocket. There's two very large mobile cranes staged there. Well, dadgum. There's our rocket scout who's out there telling us. I still hate that that's happening. Listen, so the we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this. And I made the comment earlier, you know, in the wake of 9/11, President Bush was presidential. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, Biden is so unimpressive right now that I wouldn't hire him to mow my grass. Not even a blade. Like, I wouldn't hire him to water my grass. Would you hire Biden for anything? What would you not hire Biden for? I'm curious. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Yes, that is the truth. And by the way, I got to tell you, our friends at ZLA Solutions, they're just plain right too. Folks, they've been with us since the beginning of this show, and I'm telling you, they're friends of mine. I know these people personally. They are solid as a rock, and they are doing a lot of stuff out there to help businesses make their businesses better. So if you are, by the way, in need of assistance, they can provide things like logistics, warehousing, quality control, that kind of thing. But their bread and butter remains staffing. So if you need people, and a lot of folks do, if you need people, ZLA Solutions. They can help you with the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. I always say blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. And so, yeah, ZLA Solutions, their website is zlausa.com. You check them out. ZLAUSA.com. That's their website. And if you go down that road, do me a favor. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it. All right. The text messages came flooding in. Flooding in. By the way, Boomer, the grades are already in, too, just so you know. This
already?
The grades are already in, yes. John from Huntsville says, Boomer, you get an A-plus today.
I got an A plus. Hey, I'll take A pluses. I'll take them anytime.
Also, I want Boomer to know that if either him or McQueen can correctly pick 20 or more football games every week, they will never receive less than an A plus from me.
Okay.
Today's winner, though, is Phil with an A double plus. Fantastic job. Thank you.
You got a double plus?
Thank you very much. I suck at pick 'em, but I'm doing great in John's scorecard.
Love it.
Yeah. We got some great texts in here. Let's see here. Scott from Huntsville. Trump will be close to 80, Biden's age, if he secures the nomination as elected. We're stupid to vote for him in office. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you. Darlene from Decatur says, interesting fact, Sean Hannity began his radio show on the day before 9/11, and he was in New York. I think the timing launched his radio show in a big way. He came on right after Rush every day. I needed them at that time. Other interesting fact, Darlene, just so you know, Sean Hannity actually got his official start in the exact same place where I am right now on 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN out of Huntsville, same time slot. I'm sitting in his old shoes right now, I guess. I just want half his paycheck. Just half. Half his paycheck would be great. What else we got here? Alan from ARAB said, I wouldn't, talk about Joe Biden, I wouldn't hire him to do anything. No, wait, I would let him clean out my cat's litter box. Airborne. I got a call on line one. I'll take that real quick. Adam from Coleman. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, you're not going to like this, and I know it's going to be countercultural to everybody here in the South, but I'm a Christian, and I believe you're a Christian too. And somewhere in the Bible, it says to pray for our leaders and give respect to our dignitaries. And now I'm not a fan of Joe Biden. I'm really not. But, you know, nobody has said, as Christians, why don't we pray for this man and our administration that they could get their hearts and minds right with the Lord? All I've heard is people make fun of him, you know. And all I hear is, and I'm not preaching at y'all or nothing like that. It's just that it's a Christian Broadcasting Association, and I've heard a lot of people just putting him down, and I get it. But at the same time, I've heard no one call in saying we need to pray for him. I've heard no one call in saying, poor man, he doesn't seem to have a relationship with Christ. Kamala doesn't either, you know. I mean, the Democrats need God just like we do.
Well, it's true, Adam. And, you know, first of all, don't try and know my heart through the radio, all right?
I said I believe you're a Christian man, is what I said.
You're right. I believe Jesus is Lord. And I have also found myself multiple times telling folks to pray for our leadership, pray for our country. I think every once in a while, though, you got to laugh. Every once in a while, you got to it is so jacked up right now that you got to laugh.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I'm a veteran. And you know, that's hard for me because when I took that oath to support, defend the Constitution and the leaders of this country, you know, I don't think that ever died. And whether I like it or not, that man's my president.
Well, he is. And he is. And at some point, though, you can respect the office and still be ready to have a different man in it.
Oh, yes, I understand. But at the same time, you have to understand, look at it from the other point of view. We got a lot of division in this country, and I understand it's funny, and you do have to laugh, and laughter is good medicine. But what happens when somebody that's thinking about bleeding over to the Republican side from the Democrats, which is happening a lot lately, turns on our radio station, and they hear, you know, just a bunch of chicanery and jokes about it. I heard one guy say, I wouldn't hire him to clean out my litter box. Now, that's how we talk about the President of the United States. I mean,
okay,
we're Christians. We're supposed to be higher than that.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I think you're going down a little bit more legalistic than I would say. And by the way, I've got about less than a minute left here, but your intent is good, but I think what you're missing is sometimes in the midst of recognizing that we have a leader with whom we don't identify, we are allowed to say something once in a while to sort of ease the mood. And I think that's important. And I don't think anybody on here has used profanity or has called for him to done away with. You don't have to keep interrupting me. Hang on a second. But what I'm saying is this. We can pray for him and salute the office and still wish the office had a different person in it. I think that's important. Hey, Adam, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Call in anytime. All right, and that is my music, so I guess I'm done. All right, you guys have an amazing night. And by the way, I wouldn't let him clean my litter box either, but I'll pray for him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.